Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek on the phone in the pouring down rain in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, on the internet. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network from March 9th, 2011, episode 93, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, horse world. And this is where Glenn would typically play the music. However, he doesn't have it, and I do, so I have to find it. And here it is.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall. It's when I'm cleaning stalls.
Hey, Jamie. Well, the first thing we were going to do in today's show is apologize for yesterday's show because we lost our internet here in Lexington and, us and our neighbors and pretty much everybody on our side of town. And that's why the show ended up cutting out early yesterday. And then about 10 minutes before the show today, we heard sirens and our internet went out again. So I am actually calling this in on the phone, and we're hoping to get through today's show as best we can. But we do apologize for yesterday, and we're going to try our best today to get you an entire show.
we're going to try. We'll see. Usually Glenn plays all the music and all that other stuff, and so now it's up to me to do it. And I think, Glenn, Tell us a little bit about what you did in the editing room yesterday and what kind of your job is as far as being the boss at the Horse Radio Network.
Well, actually, one of the things I do is I edit the shows, and, you know, we put together all the shows and get them ready to go out. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, you and I in the past, we have busted on Alan and Tammy over there at the Western Radio Show pretty, you know, we've hit them pretty hard, haven't we, in the past. And, you know, we're mostly just joking and kidding around and stuff, but they are true professionals over there. They know what they're doing. They have a big following. Tammy said when she was down at Road to the Horse, she had about 5 or 6 people come up to her and want to get pictures with her because they're big fans of the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. And they love her and Alan, and she was so flattered to have people coming up and asking her for pictures. And, you know, Alan is an announcer across the country. He does all kinds of rodeos announcing, and they really are professionals, and we have to take our cowboy hats off to them because they do such a great job. Well, I was thinking yesterday that we should put a little montage together to show their true professionalism and how good they are at what they do. So I did that last night, and I thought we'd play that for you here this morning. This is Alan and Tammy from the Western Radio Show, and this is our salute to them, and you'll play the file called Western Radio Show.
Mm-hmm.
This is episode 44 of the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network. How to blow your nose without making your nose raw. Please, you know. Tammy's got the flu. I feel so sad for you. Right. In 3, 2, 1. This is Alan Moorhead.
And I'm...
I'm
sorry. I didn't know
that. I knew that.
This is Alan, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
I'm sorry you're Alan.
Yeah.
Am I missing something? I thought there was something.
But no, you just started that. I don't know. Maybe.
That's the first one I screwed up.
Baloney.
Okay, in a long time. Okay, go ahead.
In 3, 2, 1. Well, Dr. Alan, in 3.
We suck today.
For some reason, just in my mind, I look and says, oh, he spells his name like mine, and I've known that for years.
Get over it, Alan. He's Alan, too.
In 3, 2, Glenn's laughing his ass off listening to this right now. Do not, Glenn, do not try to make a bloopers reel. Okay. 3.
Make a better show. Fantastic. That's fantastic. And the reason that Glenn has this, just to let you guys know, is that when everybody does their shows, they have to send it to Glenn, and he edits everything and puts them all together. So, Alan and Tammy, we salute you and your professionalism. You're fantastic. And now we know what happens behind the scenes.
And you know what? I wasn't going to do it until he said, Glenn, do not make a blooper reel out of this. And that was it. Then I had to do it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely had to do it. So there you go, Alan. Deal with it. He might be calling in. No, he's not calling in, so I don't have to answer the phone. And I have control of the phones today, so if he does call in, I don't have to answer it. Okay, so moving on. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's train wreck of a show, please?
On today's train wreck, Pelham 123, here we come. Let's see here. We've got some fun song bits from some of our favorite artists. We've got some news from the social media awards. We've got some commercials from some really awesome sponsors. And
Jennifer,
we've got what?
Jennifer, just stop. Jennifer
what?
Doesn't have a computer. She has no idea what's coming up on today's show.
No.
Music and commercial. Okay, we're going to talk to Alicia from the Pony Club Tetrathlon. We are also going to have thehorse.com with their horse health report. It's going to be Christy and Dr. Jones, of course, and they're going to talk to us a little bit about Hoof Health Part 2, because we did Part 1 last week, and we didn't get to the mushy, squishy, gross stuff, so Glenn would have a weight loss program for today. So we're going to do that a little bit more today as well. And then I have to tell, we've got a couple cool news stories as well. How'd I do,
yep.
Jennifer?
That was beautiful. Took it right off my plate. You're hired.
Hey, I do have a daily winning. Can you find that button?
Oh, wait, hold on, Lord. You got me doing too many things at the same time. Here we go.
This Daily Winnie goes out to my friend Mandy Widrick, who is one of the up-and-comers and leaders now in new media in the horse world. She really is, she's a young lady who's doing a terrific job in new media in the horse world. And she agreed yesterday to join our lineup as a regular contributor in a segment we're calling Mandy's Picks. Mandy is going to be bringing us the top websites and Facebook pages and things for the horse world. She's going to be joining us on a regular basis doing that. But she had actually an event coming up on Thursday night, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, that everybody is invited to join in on, if you want to see how Facebook can help your business, Mandy is the one to look to, and she actually, being new media, she's put a little promo together for us, and Jamie's going to play that now. It's called Mandy's Promo, I think. Starts with Mandy, so you can play that now.
Hi, everybody. This is Mandy Woodrick of Horse Family Magazine and Charge Step Media. Do you own a business in the horse industry? Have you been wanting to learn more about Facebook marketing and promoting your business online? If you answered yes to those questions, then I have some exciting news for you. This Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be teaching a webinar and sharing how I started out completely from scratch online and built a large social media following in a matter of months. I'll be talking about things like the recent changes to Facebook fan pages, Facebook groups and what they're all about, how to make your page look professional and desirable to potential customers. If you can't make the webinar, sign up anyway, and we'll be sure to send you the free replay later on so you can learn how to market your horse business online.
And that
all
was
right.
Mandy. Yeah, so she's doing this tomorrow evening. We'll put a link to where you can sign up on our Facebook page as soon as, matter of fact, it looks like we have the internet back now, but we're going to keep doing the show on the phone and the way we're doing it because we can't count on it staying up. So, you know, it's amazing about technology. It's a wonderful thing when it works, but when it doesn't work, it really sucks when you rely on it. So Mandy is doing these seminars and does a great job with them. She talks about Facebook and how it can really help your business. And we'll put a link to that a little later on after the show's over when we can get back online here. And you'll be able to go there, sign up, and tune into it. It's free, it's easy, and it's a lot of fun. So
okay.
I wanted to mention it.
It's my turn for the Daily Win. All right. My Daily Winnie today, it goes out to me. I'm daily winning myself because I want everybody to go to Facebook. Okay, yesterday I'm out there riding. We ride the little pony. He did great. He's perfect for the kids. We talked about that yesterday. So then I go to get on my horse. And this is my thoroughbred who's currently, you know, still in training, learning to jump. And, of course, my in-laws are here. My husband is home. He's taking the day off. My student, her two sisters, and her mother are all here, and they're all watching me ride the thoroughbred who's learning to jump. Well, let's just say I have set up some gymnastics, and I've actually got some video of some other days on YouTube right now. If you just search for Jamie Jennings, they're on YouTube. And if you just go through and I set up some trot poles, so they go through three trot poles, then they have a jump and a bounce and then another jump and then an in and out and then another jump. So this is a pretty extensive thing that my horse has worked his way up to. And so he starts to go through the trot poles, mind you, mother-in-law, father-in-law, husband, neighbor, cousins, students, parents. There's literally 20 people lining the arena. And my horse trips over the trot poles and decides that he's not going. He trips over the trot poles because this is a pretty complicated deal. He trips over the trot poles and decides he's not going to jump the first X and kind of wheels to the right. Well, if you go to Facebook right now and you look at the video of Karen O'Connor, this is the moment that I had yesterday. My horse wheeled to the right and I went left. But dear God, I was not going to fall off that horse. I am hanging on the horse sideways. My head is down by where my stirrup would be, and I am fighting to stay on. And thank God he stood still. But it's one of those, like, your head is down by where your stirrup is. Your right leg is, like, reaching up over. You're grabbing for mane. You're trying to hold the reins. You're trying to wiggle your butt, like, back up into the saddle. It was one of the more heroic efforts that I have made to not fall off in front of 20 people watching me. So please go on Facebook and look at this Karen O'Connor video because I literally felt just like she does in this video. I wish it would have been on tape. Of course, at the end, my husband is like, hey, nice recovery. Shut up, jerk. By the way...
I did just watch this video, and I remember this one, and, you know, it was obviously important for her because she would have gotten penalties at this point or disqualified if she had fallen off. So you managed to stay on. You got back on the horse?
I miraculously got back on the horse. And fortunately, I think that the horses in Karen's situation and my horse's situation were so absolutely confused as to why we're on the side of them, scrambling and wiggling and all this, that they just stood still out of sheer confusion. So he stood still. I wiggled my way back up. And I will tell you right now that I cannot lift my arms like higher than my pockets, my shoulders.
Are they 3 inches longer than they used to be?
I'm telling you, I'm so sore. It's not even funny. I'm having to use the mouth, and I'm like having to use my left hand to push my right hand over to the mouth because my shoulders and neck are so tight. But it's just muscles. I'll be fine. Don't worry about me, Glenn. I know you were.
There's, you know, we were picking on Alan and everything earlier. There's something that comes to mind for you.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for that. I thought I was in control of the audio, okay? I guess your internet's back?
Yeah, my internet's back for 5 minutes or so until it goes down again.
Oh, great. Thank you for that. Yeah, so that is exactly what happened to me yesterday, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And again, just laugh at me. And my father-in-law was like, I get done riding, and I walk in the house, and he's like, what you do is really dangerous. I don't know if I like that.
I think it is kind of funny that it's kind of a chuckle that this happens when the in-laws are in. They haven't been in.
Oh.
The first time you're riding in front of them in forever, and look what happens. It's always,
ever.
It's always that way. Yeah.
I've never ridden in front of them ever.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Yeah, no, that was the first time they'd ever seen me ride. I'm like, oh, I'll just bring the green guy. I should have brought my warm blood out, who's perfect, and he would never do anything wrong. Yeah. It was definitely interesting.
Well, we're glad you're okay. We're glad you recovered and managed to get back on. That was probably very impressive. By the way, was anybody videotaping it at the time? No, of course, right?
Of course not. I think I would win the America's Funniest Home Videos. $100,000 could be mine if I had been videoing that at that moment.
Well, you know, everybody has their bad days, and I often wondered what would happen during a horse race if it was foggy. You know, sometimes it gets so darn foggy you can't see 10 feet in front of you. So I often wondered what would happen if it was foggy at a horse race and the announcer couldn't see 10 feet in front of him. Well, I found one of those. Take a listen.
They're off. Twisted Heart broke well on the inside and goes out to the front. There goes Smithwick to the outside, and these two are away the best. They're followed by Ride and Shotgun, Deep Run, Dune to the outside, and Lexington Ray as they make their way in to the clubhouse turn. And that's where they are, the clubhouse turn. And up next is the backstretch. And then we go on from there. But the quarter was 24 2/5 seconds. And the field continues down the backstretch, and Smithwick and Twisted Heart, they're going at it up front. Deep Run Dune is right there, Ride and Shotgun just behind them. And it's quite a scramble. I just made all that up. I can't see anything. wait a minute. It's a great finish in the Vosburgh, that's for sure. We just saw that. They're going around the turn, and it's Twisted Heart in front here at Monmouth. Smithwick on the outside, second. Lexington Ray is third. Deep Run Dune is fourth as they make their way toward the top of the stretch. I think, let's see, 48-2, three quarters and 1:13-3. Yep, they should be turning for home here. And they're coming to the top of the stretch here and toward the eighth pole. And we have horses. Twisted Heart. 4-5, still in front by 3. And Twisted Heart and Francisco Masonette love the fog today. Deep Run Dune was second, Lexington Ray was third, and then Wet Blanket.
And then Wet Blanket. Oh, my God, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. And they're going head to head. Oh, my gosh, it's a struggle. I just made all that up. I can't see anything.
I can't see a thing. And when you watch the video, you really can't see anything. You can't even see the horses. And, at the end, I thought he was making it up, too, but you could barely see the numbers on the horses at the end. And Wet Blanket, what a name for a racehorse. I thought that was pretty
especially
good.
Especially in the fog. That's amazing.
I thought you'd like that, by the way. That was Mammoth Park track announcer Larry Culmis, and that was September 27, 2008, in the 10th race.
I have to see the video. I have to see the video.
That. When I can, I'll post that on Facebook as well. Hey, I wanted to ask you, you live in Arizona, and we live in Kentucky.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you what you thought were the best, or the report just came out yesterday about the happiest states. And this was taken off of a survey of 350,000 people. In over 18 years old in all 50 states in the District of Columbia. So what do you think, and this was based on, access to health care and, crime and all that stuff. So what do you think is the happiest state?
Okay. Let's see. The happiest state. I've got my number one and my number two, and they could be interchangeable. Because first of all, it is definitely not Arizona because there is crime, there's like kidnapping, there's illegal immigration, there's all this craziness, and it gets like to 120 degrees in the summer, so it's pretty miserable here. So I would definitely not choose Arizona. However, I am the happiest person in the world in Arizona. I would have to go with Oregon and Hawaii. And here, I'll tell you why.
You're partly right. Hawaii was number one as the happiest state.
Really?
Number two, Hawaii was number one, and I can get you guess that. The weather's perfect. They have, like, pretty girls on beaches. Why wouldn't you be happy there?
It's the greatest place ever, yeah.
so I have to agree with that one. Wyoming was number two.
Yay.
Not sure why.
They're drunk. They're drunk all the time. That is why. You have to be drunk all winter to deal with that snow.
Well, I'll tell you what. Snow must make people very happy because listen what rounds out the top 10. And some of our listeners are going to be happy to hear this because they live in these states. North Dakota is third. North Dakota. It's like minus 120 degrees up there.
Yeah, let me tell you why North Dakota is third. It's because there's four people that live there. And
no, they
asked
all happy.
Everybody, and they said they're all happy. So of the four people that live there, that jumped the percentage up, and it took them to number three. Go ahead.
Well, number four is Alaska, another freezing cold state.
They
number
need to ask
five,
them in the summer. Yeah, they ask them in the summer when the days are long, not when it's
true.
An hour of sunshine.
Colorado, number five, and we know we have listeners in number six, Minnesota. So, you keep telling those people to move out. Apparently, they're very happy in their snowy, very cold oasis up there.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. Apparently, they are. Hey, Arizona was 19. Now let's go to the bottom.
Yes.
Okay, so you would guess what states would be in the bottom five of
okay.
the most unhappiest people in America?
Indiana, Pennsylvania, I would have said North Dakota, but I will go with South Dakota. let's see, maybe Illinois? I don't know.
Okay.
What about those?
You have none of them right. By the way, you mentioned South Dakota is number seven on the happiest scale, right under Minnesota. And, number nine is Connecticut is happy, and I'm not buying that. I have a lot of family that live in Connecticut, spent a lot of time in Connecticut, and they all seem to be miserable up there, so I don't get the Connecticut thing. But here we go. The bottom five, the fifth most unhappy people are in Alabama. The fourth are in Arkansas. The third, Mississippi. You notice a trend there, all like right next to each other in the South? The second most unhappy people is Kentucky.
Really?
We are very happy here. What's up with that? I'm happy here.
That's because you don't live west of Lexington in the hills of Kentucky where you have your trailer parked on top of the mountain. That's just how it is.
Okay. And number one, most unhappy state is West Virginia.
Oh, gosh. I should have got that one.
You forgot about West Virginia.
I forgot Arkansas was even a state.
And our apologies to everybody who lives in Arkansas now, isn't it?
Exactly. Oh, that's a great story. That is a great story. Where'd Georgia come in, my old home state?
Georgia was in the middle of the pack. They were like 20-something. They were in the middle of the pack. So, you know, it's probably better to be in the middle of the pack when you're in that, you know, when you're on that list. Sure beats being at the bottom of the pack. So if we, you know, ever sound unhappy in the morning, you'll know why, because we just live in the second most unhappiest state in the country. Just
now we know. That sucks. Well, Glenn, do you want me to do the awesome story, the story of the century that I have right now, or do you want to go ahead and finish the quiz before we get our first guest on?
Yeah, you know, we started this quiz yesterday. I'm going to have you do the story, and because we can't chat with each other here, Jennifer, if you could go ahead and get the guest on, and you'll have to let us know when the guest is ready. That would be appreciated. But we will finish the quiz we started yesterday. That's where the show pretty much ended yesterday. And we had a tie between Jennifer and Jamie on my awesomeness quiz that I put together, the most awesome quiz ever on horses. And we'll finish that at the end of the show today. We'll have a tiebreaker question that we ought to get a champion out of that. But why don't you tell this fascinating story?
I have the greatest story of all time. This is the greatest news story. Now, I won't say of all time, but it's the greatest story of the day. A 16-year-old horse, his name is Rich in Dallas, he portrayed Seabiscuit in the 2003 movie Seabiscuit. We were talking about the horse movies yesterday, and I found it amazingly ironic that I found this story today. The story is about Rich in Dallas, which we'll now call Seabiscuit. He is starting a new job. He went from the silver screen, if you will, to now being a therapy horse for 64 boys living at a facility in Tulsa. It's called the Boys Home. And Seabiscuit is now going to go live with, I mean, how awesome is that? Seabiscuit takes the stage and screen, and then he's now going to live in Tulsa at the Boys Home and rehab boys. It's just the coolest thing, because I think that the namesake of Seabiscuit and whoever portrays him should go on to do bigger and better things and help the good, because I think the whole point of the movie was to let everybody know how a horse affected the Depression era and how he gave people hope and gave people excitement. And that's exactly what Seabiscuit in the movie is going to go do at the Tulsa Boys Home.
I think that's great, too. And, you know, this horse looks so – it's the cutest thing. That is
oh, my
the cutest
gosh.
Horse.
I'm going to post the picture on Facebook, because it absolutely is – the horse in the movie. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And let's see, Greg Conway, the executive director of the home, says that Seabiscuit is going to be one of their equine-assisted psychotherapy horses. Says he'll be getting inside the boy's head in an effort to help them heal. And some of the quotes from the boys are really, actually, it just goes to show you what equine therapy is all about. It says, as the boys go through the equine program, they learn to feed and care for the horses, slowly working their way up to riding. And Jacob, who's 17, says, I like it. I don't have to think about my problems. I just have to take care of the horse. I'm still learning about them. I pet them quite a bit. And then there's another kid who basically goes on to say the same thing. I love it. I like connecting with the horses. And then he talks about Seabiscuit. He says, the last person who rode this horse was Toby Maguire. It's going to be so exciting to have him here. So I just think that is a really, really awesome story. And
This woman named Leslie Hubble, who's a volunteer with the Acceler Fund, she is a group that supports retired thoroughbreds, and she owns Seabiscuit, and she worked with the group to get him to move in to the place in Tulsa. But it says here that his pasture companion, Samson, is also going to go with him. And is Samson the same Samson from the movie? That big palomino that went with Seabiscuit everywhere in the movie?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yep.
I wonder if it is. That would be kind of cool. So we need to find Leslie Hubble and get her on the air and talk to her about this.
Well, that is cool. That is neat. That's a good story and a happy ending. And you know, we need those in the horse world. We need those happy endings. So that is a good story.
And Greg Conway, the executive director, says, Seabiscuit represents what the Tulsa Boys Home stands for, healing, overcoming adversity, and instilling a sense of hope. That's what the horse did for the entire nation, and his actor's namesake will continue that here. So what a cool story. I want to go give Seabiscuit a big kiss on the nose.
There you go. Go to Tulsa. That's where you'll find
it. Hey, guys, our guest is ready.
All right, let's do our commercial here, and then we'll get to our first guest.
All right, and our show today is brought to you by Back on Track, and Back on Track products are endorsed by many of the top dressage, eventing, show jumping riders worldwide. But they're not just for the pros. Any level of rider can benefit from the unique line of therapeutic products for horses, humans, and dogs. Back on Track has some new products available. They've got exercise boots, bell boots, Western saddle pads, and Back on Track's products' genuine aim is to contribute towards your horse's well-being and good health in the easiest, most comfortable, and pleasant way. And you can learn more about Back on Track products. Ooh, Glenn, do you think they have something I could wrap around my shoulders and my neck to help a little bit?
I think you need the body suit.
They probably do. They have back on their website is backontrackproducts.com.
And the highlight product for Back on Track this week is the Jamie Almost Falling Off bodysuit. It's available for a mere $4,000 at their website. Actually, it's the knee boot. And their knee boot is a neoprene exterior lined with state-of-the-art fabric, which contains polyester thread embedded with a fine ceramic powder. Designed to reflect the horse's own body warmth, it creates a soothing infrared thermal heat, which can help alleviate pain associated with inflamed muscles, ligaments, tendons, and joints. And you can find those knee boots at backontrackproducts.com. You know, they do have human products, too. You might want to take a look at those and keep those handy for the days you're riding in front of the in-laws and make a complete fool of yourself. Just thought I'd bring
you.
It up.
Thank you. Thanks for that. That's great.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Well, our first guest today, her name is Alicia, and she is here to talk about one of the coolest events that the Pony Club offers, and that is called the It's a tetrathlon, and it is one of the neatest things, and, you know, the fact that Pony Clubbers get to do this is amazing. So let's welcome Alicia. Good morning, Alicia, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning to you.
I'm glad you were able to join us today, and I'm glad that we're actually here with all the technical problems we've been having this morning. And so tell us, what is the tetrathlon? And by the way, they should have named it better so that I could actually say it. Just thought I'd bring
it up.
Well,
tetrathlon is a four-discipline sport. The disciplines that they are running, riding, swimming, and shooting. So that's where the tetra comes from, four disciplines in this event.
And is it, and I assume that there must be quite a bit of training that they have to do each one of these. I mean, you know, they're each separate things, and that's what makes it so challenging is you work up adrenaline, and then you're off your horse trying to be steady shooting, you know?
Actually, that's how you see it done in some of the Olympic sports. We're talking about much younger competitors here, and so their events are separated by time so that they have rest periods, and they're able to perform their very, very best in each of their four phases. Tetrathlon is a sport that, as you said, it requires skill, it requires physical endurance, and it develops these young people in multiple ways.
Well, that's cool. Now, is it do they do championships? Like when you guys get together every, or, you know, for your nationals and stuff, is this part of that national competition as well?
Oh, it certainly is, and I am the organizer for the tetrathlon discipline at our championships. Typically, what happens is there is a rally in the region that the competitors live in. The rally is our educational competition at regional level, so they compete in their region, and they achieve a qualifying score, and then they advance to the championships that are held either in Lexington, Virginia, or Lexington, Kentucky, and in the, you know, several years, we will also have a Western Championships.
Now, is this ponies and horses, and then all ages of the kids as well?
Absolutely. Pony Club is an organization for youth, and it is not limited to ponies. In fact, most of our members probably do ride horses.
Okay, cool. So what, I have a question here. I wanted to form it. What is the most difficult part of the tetrathlon, or does that just depend on the horse and the rider?
It depends on the horse and the rider. The riding phase of the tetrathlon competition is basically a show jumping competition. So that requires a lot of practice and skill, obviously, and it's also a timed event. So they have a we calculate an optimum time that they are to jump these obstacles, and any seconds over the time are penalties. They also have to dismount and open a slip rail and walk through it and place it back and then remount. And at another point in the course, they have to stop their horse, open a farm gate, and close it back, and then continue their round. These skills are very they're very important for the development of this sport. Was from the skills that a Napoleonic courier would have needed to get messages from Napoleon to the front and back. So that's how the riding test was developed.
Okay, well, that makes sense. That certainly makes sense. So do you find boys or girls tend to do better at this, or is it even, it doesn't matter, or do you have, I imagine that, you know, I'm a guy, I got to imagine that the guys right. love this.
They do, and actually the girls love it too. And they compete in by age and gender. So we have tables of penalties that are tailored to an age group and a gender. And at the younger ages, gender is not a factor, really. The gender factor comes in the junior age groups generally. And the tables are set at a very high bar. The swimming times, for instance, to achieve the maximum number of points for a swimming score, you basically have to swim the same times that you would swim in high school to make state finals.
Okay,
very challenging.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're swimming, and excuse me that for not, this may be a dumb question, but you're swimming horseless, correct?
No. No, we're not swimming horses. The competitor swims in a pool just exactly like at a swim meet. So,
That'd be awesome.
I would like to, you know what, I'm not on the committee this year, but I am a resource, and I think I could suggest that we have swim the horses.
That'd be fun.
That would
I
be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
We did that when we were little, right?
Absolutely.
I know. I mean, that's part of being a pony clubber, I think, is to have to learn how to take your horse in water jumps, right? I mean, so you should be able to take your horse in the water, and you have to swim from point A to point B. I think that's the greatest idea ever, and I'd like to play.
I'm liking this. I see a rule change.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you think, Alicia. Good suggestion, Jamie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, just I see the swimming thing, and I just thought that would be awesome. So carry on with your
questions. You know what? I think you could make it even better if they were shooting targets while swimming. Would even be better.
No, that's the Gymkhana kids doing that. That's games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that sounds more like a games opportunity to me. We do have a tie-in. To dressage, though, we have often said that during our shooting phase that we would have a shooting phase that instead of doing normal pistol target shooting, that we would do the dressage, mounted armed dressage instead. But
yeah,
that never really gets off the ground.
Well, mounted shooting is becoming very popular.
That's right.
It is. It is. I can't say, I mean, seriously, all joking aside, I think this is a tremendous sport for our young people because it does encourage them to develop their interest in riding. It encourages them to condition their own bodies, condition their horses, and they become multi-sport athletes. These are skills and sports that they can do their entire life, and I really have seen a lot of our competitors go on into college, into various sports, and to become interested in fitness and maintain fitness throughout their high school, college, and young adult years. Actually, my own daughter did tetrathlon in the day, and she to this day, she runs, she swims, and she's developed a big interest in fitness and, in fact, graduated with a degree in nutrition. And so she's pursuing a career in wellness. And I think we see a lot of that with the tetrathlon competitors.
That's kind of cool. Having not competed in tetrathlon when I was a pony clubber, we had a really, really tiny pony club, so we didn't even have enough members to afford a team. In tetrathlon,
right,
which I think is uniquely pony club, I don't think you can find open competitions for a tetrathlon association anywhere.
No, you're correct.
The order of events is always the same, am I right? They always do the disciplines in what order?
No, there is no particular order.
Oh, okay.
And we have designed it that way so that the local venue –
mm-hmm —
can take advantage of their resources,
mm-hmm,
most efficiently, you know. Mm-hmm. In the case when I run a tetrathlon here in Hendersonville, we always swim on Friday afternoon because I can get four lanes in the swimming pool at the Y on Friday afternoon. I can't get them Saturday morning —
yes —
during adult swim. I can't get them Saturday afternoon during lessons.
Right.
So that gives the local organizer the freedom to make the best use of local resources.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the shooting aspect of tetrathlon, because I must admit, you would not associate shooting and pony club at first glance. But that's one of the more unique disciplines within the tetrathlon. And there's a lot of interesting and unique opportunities that are available to kids who participate in tetrathlon. And first of all, are they shooting real guns? Well, yes, they're shooting.
Oh,
they're not imaginary.
Yes, it is a very real target shooting pistol, and it is a pellet. It is a pellet that they are shooting.
Are they air guns versus gunpowder, right?
Yes, they are powered by compressed air or CO2. They
kind
of
like
there is
paintball.
No gunpowder.
Kind of like paintball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Tell us a little bit about all the opportunities they have available.
Well, currently there is an NRA grant available to develop these shooting programs for the local clubs and whatnot. You can find information on that grant program on the Pony Club website, and if you click on Disciplines and go to Pony Club, then there is information there about the NRA grant program and download the application for it. That's one thing. The other opportunities for the members who participate in tetrathlon is an international exchange, which is
it is a wonderful opportunity for the kids, because the countries who participate are Canada, the U.S., the British Pony Club, and the Irish Pony Club. And we take turns hosting the competition. So if it's hosted in the U.S., typically Canada will step in and host a week of the competition in Canada. We'll have them here for a week or 10 days. And then the Irish and the British come over here, and we all have fun. We do fun things, and we do our competition for bragging rights.
So it's an international kind of event. I got to ask you, where can people find out more? Where can they find out where this is all going on?
Once again, you go to the ponyclub.org website, and you click on activities and opportunities, and you can find all of these things listed there.
Okay, so there's no specific tetrathlon website. It is literally just ponyclub.org. Jump right in. And I see there's one in California coming up, so that sounds good. I'll be bringing my horse, and I'll go swimming with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no.
Well, that,
not
you
swimming
bring up
with
a
horses.
Very good point. this year we are inviting our horse masters, which is the adult portion of the program, to come to Pony Club Championships and participate in tetrathlon, which I think is going to be very, very much fun and exciting.
Awesome. So people can find out ponyclub.org to find out more. And thank you so much for being on the show with us this morning. It's been definitely educational, and I know Jennifer would like to go. She's there.
Well, it's right here in Kentucky this year.
There you go.
I'll be there. I'm looking for you.
Perfect. Alicia, thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Jennifer's excited. Glenn, you better watch out. She's going to go. She's going to go.
She's going to have Beaker over there swimming and shooting. And I really like the idea. You know, Tammy over there in the Western show does mounted shooting, but I bet you they haven't done mounted shooting while swimming, you know, a raging river.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, Glenn. Dream on.
You know, they do it in the movies all the time. I think it could happen. I think I'm going to talk to Tammy about that. We'll start a new class in the mounted shooting category. Well, this today's song is brought to you by FeedXL. If you haven't gone to FeedXL yet, you should. You should stop by to FeedXL.com and see if you're feeding your horse correctly. Just hop on over there, put in some information about your horse, put in some information about what you feed your horse, and it's going to spit out a bunch of reports that tell you whether you're feeding your horse everything your horse needs, from all the vitamins and minerals. It's going to tell you if you're feeding too much of one thing or too little of another. It's a way that you can be sure that what you're doing is correct by your horse. So stop on over to FeedXL.com and get the peace of mind that you're feeding your horse correctly. It only takes a couple of minutes. Well, it is pouring down rain here. It has been all night long in Lexington. It's pouring down rain all day here. So I thought a perfect song for today, and you want to find this, Jamie. It's called A Little Rain by Templeton Thompson. And, of course, you can buy all Templeton's music at templetonthompson.com.
And you want me to play it? Hit play?
Yes, please.
All right.
Just the way it is. You can hide, stay inside, or face the clouds with arms out open wide. You decide. A little pain will do you good. It'll make you grow up fast. The hurt is so misunderstood until long after. To
That is Templeton Thompson, A Little Rain. Oh, my gosh. She just is the coolest. All of her songs are just fantastic. I'd never heard that one, and I'm just zoning out listening to it.
It is good. She is terrific. She really is. Hey, I wanted to ask you before we get to our next guest, we have thehorse.com coming up here, but I wanted to ask you if you saw that Dennis Quaid's house is for sale. His equestrian estate just came up for sale yesterday.
No, I did not.
Okay. So this is it. It's a French-style country house, main house, a guest house, a studio, a barn, and a corral. It's only 2 acres, but it's lush acres, it says, with a year-round creek. There are 8 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, 8,400 square feet of living space. It has a maid's quarters, which apparently he didn't have any maids because he converted it to a gym. And then it has a covered loggia. What's a loggia, by the way? L-O-G-G-I-A. I have no idea what that is. Do you have any idea? I don't know either.
A covered loggia.
Loggia with a fireplace that overlooks a swimming pool and a spa. So there it is. I assume it's in California. Pacific Palisades.
I just Googled Pacific Palisades, and what came up is it's a district within the U.S. City of Los Angeles located between Brentwood and Malibu. Okay, so we're talking like, how much is this house? Because it doesn't matter how much it is, that piece of land is going to be worth bazillions.
Well, would it be worth it? $2 million, would that be okay? Would you spend $2 million for that for 8,400 square feet and 2 acres?
There is $2 million, is that it?
No, I lied. It's $16.9 million.
Oh, my gosh. $16.9 million.
Yeah, yeah. So there it is. It's available for you today. And I also wanted to say that we had the one yesterday when our show cut off was we had a realtor coming on to talk about a really cool one, which I think is even cooler than old Dennis Quaid here in Lexington. And we're going to get him back on. We're going to reschedule him so that he'll be back to talk about that property we were going to tease you with yesterday. But, Jamie, we have our next guest on here. And we have something to congratulate her for, don't we?
We absolutely do. So congratulations to Christy from The Horse for their Equestrian Social Media Award for Best Use of Twitter.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
That's
it.
That's your acceptance speech? And
oh, come on. You saw the acceptance speech, didn't you?
Apparently,
yes.
Glenn saw it. I didn't see it, so tell us about it, Glenn.
Christy was looking all cute and pretty on there and all official-like. It was nothing like when she's on here with us. She looked very official and proper.
I was trying to be respectable. It's kind of a stretch for me sometimes, but...
It was nice to actually see you, and people can see it by just going to the Equestrian Social Media Awards page on Facebook. Just search for Equestrian Social Media, it'll come up. And their latest one went up this morning. I didn't get to watch it yet, but now that they've announced three days of the categories, and their latest video is up there at the Donkey Farm. But they're doing a good job with it, don't you think, Christy?
I think they really are, and I love the Donkey Farm. I think, and I especially love the combination of Liam's tux and jeans and boots. I think that works out very, very well. I think it's so Liam.
It's so Liam.
You know, I got to say, I didn't really have any involvement with him at all before this contest, but I'm liking Liam. I'd love to meet him sometime.
Yeah, we had him on a couple times, and then, of course, Monday we're doing the special equestrian social media award show here on Horses in the Morning. The whole show is going to be devoted to Liam will be on, and Riyab will be on with us, and we're going to get a bunch of the winners on. We had you on today, so we probably won't bring you back, make you come back on Monday. We
okay.
figured we could make fun of you right here on the show.
No,
this morning.
I want Christy
Why?
To come on and make a fuss.
You know, it's supposed to be a good thing winning. You know, you're not supposed to get a whole lot of grief, right? So what are you going to do to everybody on Monday? Let me weigh in whether I want to be in or out.
Well, I got to put some special music together, of course. But, no, we think it is a great thing, and I was very excited that you came in third in another category, right?
Right, in Facebook.
Okay, I thought so. I thought there was another one that you were
most educational. I need to go back and look, to be honest. But yeah, it was a really great honor. I mean, we were very happy to get it, and I want to give special props to our photo and newsletter editor Megan Arsman for the Twitter category, because she really is doing the lion's share of all that. And I believe you got to meet her at AHP last year. Is that right, Glenn?
Yeah, I think we had lunch together, didn't we?
I think so. And she is going to be there this weekend, so we'll all get to hang out and spend some FaceTime. So.
I'm very excited. I actually get to see Christy this weekend here in Lexington for an event. So it's going to be fun. I'm very excited. Now, I have to ask you, the video that everybody's curious, if that video was taken in your house with the pretty backdrop or...
That actually was taken in my house.
Did you have to clean before? You know, you are a horse girl.
I am a horse girl, but you know, when you angle the camera up just a little bit, you don't see all the mess on the floor.
Ooh, I like it.
I am not entirely stupid. but no, it was actually kind of fun. But the entertaining part of doing that video, and they said, okay, well, you know, we'd like you to do the acceptance speech. We got that email. I'm like, man, what are we going to do for that? You know, trying to think of all the fun and interesting things we can do. And I thought, well, we'll just keep it pretty straight up and say thanks to all the staff who have helped us. But then I had to record this speech, and it just so happened that I ended up having to do this at home because, as you know, I work from home most of the time. So, okay, that means I have no video staff. I do have a camera that has video capability, which I got, you know, not too long ago, so I was happy to play with that. But then the night before, when I was trying to get everything set up and kind of write out my script and see how long it was going to take, because, of course, it was supposed to be a short video, and, you know, and sitting down, you know, so I'm running around behind the camera and turning on to record, running down and sitting in the chair, talking for a minute or so and going back and watching it. Oh, I hate that. Okay, I'll do this. I don't even know how many times I went through this. A video crew would have been so much easier because I'm not usually in front of or behind the camera all the time. So it was it would have been a fun segment just to watch me going back and forth and messing with stuff 18 times.
Well, you would have you're gonna if we win on Friday, we're the very last category. We have to wait till like the last thing on Friday. And, you know, if we do win and you see ours, you're going to see how much cheesier ours was than yours, for sure.
Oh, so my cheese factor was low. I thought it was pretty high.
No, I thought it looked good. It looked very professional. You had your hair all done, and you didn't look like a horse girl at all, by the way.
Yeah, I do own a hairbrush.
Okay.
And sometimes I even use it. Thank you. It was fun. Well, I can't wait to see yours. Do I get a hint at all?
Well, you won't see it if we don't win, that's for sure.
Right. Well, I'm running on this assumption because you guys are just awesome.
Well, that's awful sweet of you, but we actually have to have people vote for you for these awards, so
I did.
You and me and Glenn are not going to make a winner.
We go some fun places with that.
I think we actually had a few of our fans vote, too. So we have a chance. I think we have a chance. And old Liam, we had him on yesterday, and he was just teasing us. He wouldn't give us any clue whatsoever.
Oh. Well, I suppose he can't. I guess that's
so
fair enough.
We're waiting for Dr. Jones. She, I guess, had an appointment until about 10 o'clock, so we're kind of waiting for her to show up here today. And of course, we've had our share of technical difficulties here at the Horse Radio Network over the last 2 days. So before we get into hoofs and grossing me out totally, can you tell us what's new over at the horse? What's going on?
Well, we're just finishing up with a lot of our AAEP coverage, the American Association of Equine Practitioners Convention. We're just getting ready to put out a big special report on that in the very near future to wrap up. We've got, I believe we ended up with just over 100 articles on that convention. And, you know, no, of course, you don't have to read every one. But there are a whole lot of different topics there of interest to anybody who's hands-on taking care of their horses, whether you're breeding horses, whether you're just riding for fun, or you're really trying to condition horses for competition. You know, you're concerned about things like, you know, potential surgical problems, eye problems. There's a ton of stuff at that convention every year, and that one report just sort of brings it all into one place. And of course, we've been doing a number of videos, interviews with the moderators of the sessions as well. So that's kind of our big focus at the moment. But we also have a number of other things coming up. We've got our monthly Ask the Vet Live feature next month, or excuse me, later this month, is going to be on poisonous plants, which that's we get so many emails about that. You know, are is blah, XYZ plant toxic to my horse? And this will help us wrap up a lot of that information into one place and get everybody a lot of answers. And sometimes the things that people ask about are really kind of interesting. And we did a reader poll a while back on what's the craziest thing your horse ever ate or drank. That was a good one. I think I might have mentioned it before on the show, but
right.
You know, everything from your garden variety, oh, my horse will, you know, take a bite of my hamburger or, you know, whatever, to I saw my horse eat a mouse once. Or
ew.
You know, I know, exactly, right? Or I think my favorite, though, was the wedding ring. And I don't know if they ever got that back.
No.
Exactly.
Well, it'd be a lot of work, but you just have to sit there and filter through it.
Patience is required and some really good gloves.
Exactly.
But so that'll be another good feature, and we've got a number of those coming up across the year and a lot more new how-to videos and lots of things. So definitely check us out. We're always working on new stuff, as are you.
And yeah, we don't tend to sit around too long.
No,
hey, I've got a funny story to tell you while we're waiting here, speaking of rings. So we moved into this farm, the first farm we owned, and it had a septic tank. This was back in, it sat in the middle of 100 acres. So we didn't have city anything. We barely had electricity. And it had a septic tank. So we went away the one day. The guy came out to empty the septic tank, you know, with the truck and pump it out and all that stuff. We get back, and there was an envelope on the door. And in the envelope was this diamond ring and a note on it saying, I found this when I emptied the septic tank. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I know the same thing goes through your mind and went through ours. How do they find a little tiny diamond ring? Well, I don't have to go any further, do I? It's pretty much just...
No. All right, you're starting to get even with me here for us grossing you out with the horse health stuff. You're trying to get some back. I see.
Wasn't it cool that the guy actually left it? He could have taken that with him.
Well, he could have.
Now,
and so here's the next question. Was it a ring belonging to you or someone in your family, or had it been left by a previous owner?
By a previous owner. We didn't know who. We actually, it was like a, I don't know, we bought it. It was like a sale, so we didn't know who the previous owner was. We had no contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we might even still have that ring to this day, and it was like 25 years ago. But the fact that he found it was a miracle.
Jennifer, you're not wearing that ring, are you?
No.
That's what I thought you were going to say. I was like, yeah, Jennifer's wearing it right now. It's the ring I proposed to her with.
I
proposed.
That's just
awesome.
I've
done some cheesy things, but that, not that. I didn't do
that. Oh, good. Because that would just be really bad if she ever found out.
And I think
this
she's working on actually getting Dr. Jones on now.
Oh, we do? Okay, cool. Let's see, I have another ring story, but we should probably talk about horses.
Well, go ahead with the ring story. We're waiting for Dr. Jones anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's sort of like horses. It had something to do with the AEP convention, and I threw out when we had Dr. Moyer on that he was a good dancer because, you know, I've seen this. And there was one convention or another. I don't even remember which city we were in at the time, but... You know, one of my friends grabbed me and said, "Hey, come on, let's go dance." Well, as I'm going out there, you know, I know this is, you know, we're it's a pretty fast song. We're gonna swing. I'm probably gonna lose my rings, so I yank off the ring that I had on and I stuff it in my pocket. Well, later on that night, I go to put my ring back on. Yeah, it's not there. And
uh-oh.
You know, this wasn't an engagement ring or anything like that. But it was a nice ring and it belonged to my grandmother, so I wanted to keep it. Couldn't find it anywhere, right? So I'm really upset because I really like this ring and it's been in my family. And we got to the point of, you know, wait until everything was over, everybody was cleared out late that night. We went digging around under all the tables, every place I'd been in the room, couldn't find everything. They had already started vacuuming. We actually had the hotel cleanup staff tearing open vacuum cleaner bags and pawing through them to try and find this ring. Yeah, we didn't have as much luck as your septic tank guy did, believe it or not. So... You came out a little bit better than I did on that one.
Oh, no.
It wasn't a wedding ring or anything, was it? Engagement ring?
No, it actually was a diamond ring, but it was not my own wedding ring as far as I'm not married, but it had been my grandma's. I really, really
hated
to lose it.
Well, I was
going to
say, if you'd have lost it, you'd probably be divorced by now anyway.
Yeah, well, there's that. There is that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well. What do you do?
Well, we have Dr. Jones on the line right now, I do believe. Dr. Jones, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Hello. Good morning.
That's a very interesting
Hello.
Story to be listening to, Chrissy.
Nice, huh? Well, you guys, last week we talked about horse hoof health, and we didn't quite get through the entire thing, so we were going to make it into a horse hoof health, say that three times fast, horse hoof health part two a little bit more, because we never really got to, I guess, the meat of it and really nasty stuff so we can gross Glenn out. So if you guys want to go ahead, let's hear it.
Well, thanks for that. We definitely were a little bit more into the basics last week, and today we did want to get into a little bit more of the common foot problems, and probably the most common one is thrush. And, Aaron, maybe you could tell us just a little bit of basics about what thrush is, besides just something
that
stinks on the bottom of your horse's foot.
Gathers, thrush is basically a bacteria gathered in the fulci against the frog, and it's seen mostly in moist, dirty environments, in their manure or a lot of manure, standing in very wet soil for long periods of time without having it brought out, can trap in the bacteria and make a great environment for that bacteria to live in, which is wet, gooey, moist, smelly area. The farrier, 9 times out of 10, finds the thrush before the veterinarian does, because the farrier's there every 5 to 7 weeks, depending on where you live. And they really are the ones that pick up on the thrush, and they'll make the recommendations. There's plenty of over-the-counter stuff for that. You'll pick up on it if you pick your horse's feet every day, which I go back to my old saying is it's great to pick their feet every day so you can keep an eye on what's going on in the bottom of their feet, or at least every other day. And you'll get a really foul smell coming from the fulci, and sometimes you'll see some black oozing from that area if it gets that bad. But if you're picking their feet every other day or every day, you usually don't run into that problem that often.
Very good. I know I had a mare with really skinny, she was a saddlebred mare, she had these really skinny feet, little tubby feet, and she always was something I always had to fight with her, and turned out the best thing that I could, what seemed to work best with her was to pick her feet out pretty well before I rode her, and then, you know, ride her in a pretty, we had a pretty sandy arena, and she could pack some sand up into her feet, then that would at least keep the manure off her feet when she went back into her stall. So that kind of taught me better.
I have a question for you, Dr. Jones. As far as horses, like Christy said, with those really skinny feet and almost like contracted heels, they tend to get a lot more of the thrush, like up in, like between their frog and even like down in the, you know, the parts you pick. So is there a chewing technique that you can do to widen that, to avoid it, or is that kind of a genetic thing?
Some of it's genetic because of the way their foot is produced. It's a upright foot. And it tends to give them a deeper sulci and a smaller heel base. But there is things that the farriers can do for some of those horses to help widen out the heel base for them so they can get more frog contact to the ground, because that is more normal for a horse to get frog contact to the ground, not to be sitting way up into the off the shoe and sitting way up into the hoof wall. They should have a little bit of frog contact to the ground.
Okay.
So, you know, yes, there is some changes your farrier can make for those horses. They are a challenge, though. So it would take, you know, a farrier that is adept at doing that and knows what they're doing with getting the foot to spread out a little bit more.
And my mare, when she was showing and she had her pads on, being a saddlebred, she did have heel springs in her shoes, and I think that may have stopped them from contracting any more with those long feet. But it definitely didn't spread them out any. And you hear a lot too, pull their shoes and turn them out in the mud, you know, and eventually the moisture and, you know, not having anything restricting hoof expansion, that it'll spread out. And I can tell you that after a couple of years after my mare retired. Her feet hadn't widened at all. So definitely genetics it plays a pretty big role.
Gotcha.
That's a confirmation. But speaking of muddy paddocks and whatnot, we like to talk a little bit about moisture and hygiene contributing to thrush. And it's not just it can happen in a lot of environments, but I believe we definitely see it a lot more in moist, dirty ones. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Glenn. Was that Glenn that was going to chime in?
Nope.
No,
I'm just listening.
Darn. Well, I really want to get into the puss pockets for you so we can talk about them if you're having some sort of cottage cheese or, you know, yogurt for lunch. So,
yeah.
I'd like to jump right into those, Christy, if that's okay.
Go right
ahead. I just love Wednesdays.
Well, this is my quick I'd like to take this because it rolls from the thrush to abscess. And so it's kind of not quite answering or going with what Christy says, but it is. I had an intern that was working with me, and we had a lame horse we went out to see, acutely lame, and that's usually what you see with an abscess. They're pointing their foot. It's real obvious. They got that front foot forward because they don't want to put a lot of weight on it. They're standing on the other leg pretty solid. You try to pick up the leg, they're standing on solidly, and they really don't want to stand on the one that they're pointing forward. They almost act like it's fractured leg. Well, we hoof test this horse, and it's sore over the heels, nowhere else in the bottom of the sole. And he picks out the foot to do the hoof testing, and the horse is wearing a shoe. But I just don't like the way he picked the hoof. I want the soak I've really dug out nice and deep, see if you get any thrush smell. I really like to take the brush end. I like those hoof picks with the brushes on the end and brush out any extra dirt so you can maybe see some bruising or a crack or something. I really like to see it pristine on the bottom. And I don't care how muddy it is, if you have to rinse some water over it, something. Well, anyway, he didn't quite get out that, you know, edge of the shoe and in the sulci. So after he got done hoof testing, he really couldn't find a place for the abscess. He was just sore of the heels. And I said, okay, well, let me take a look at the foot. And I picked up the foot, and due to my OCD, if you want to call it, I went in and I cleaned out the sulci and brushed out the sole. And darned if I didn't pop an abscess as I was cleaning out the sulci. All this ooey gooey pus came flooding out, filled up the sulci, and there was our abscess.
Yeah.
And it was actually in the side of the frog. And that's why this horse was sore over the heels and over the frog when hoof testing, but not actually over the sole or the bottom of the foot.
And
that's awesome.
And, you know, and you wonder why us horse husbands say occasionally, why is it that we like horses? Why is it that our spouses like horses? What is it about this that's fun?
Because they have you to take care of things like this.
It's knowing that the horse that got instant relief from you relieving that pressure. As a veterinarian, that's what makes it for me. That horse got some quick relief. It may not be 100% sound, you're all said and done, but just having that build-up pressure of an abscess and you're able to release the pressure, or I could say pop the abscess, and that might even get any more ooey-gooey for Glenn, that it gives you satisfaction that you did the right thing.
Well, and then you get a certain amount of satisfaction, too, knowing that you're leaving the next day for a horse show for 2 days, and the horse husband is left behind to pack it and make sure that we're doing all of that correctly.
Well, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
Well, see, and then the horse husband should look at it as you are giving more and more daily relief to the horse as you're soaking the foot in Epsom salt or packing it with Eximol for a drawing agent and taking care of the bottom of that horse's foot, because every day the horse says, I love you, thank you very much.
Okay.
It's a bonding thing.
Yeah, okay.
But to talk about the abscesses, the hoof wall is like the fingernail of a person. And if anybody's ever slammed their finger in the door or gotten some sort of bruise underneath their fingernail, they can imagine how bad that pressure and that amount of swelling hurts under the fingernail. And there's no way to release it unless you put a hole in the top of the fingernail, which I've heard of some people doing on their own or the doctor and do. And that's exactly what happens with these abscesses is they'll start from either a foot that probably needed to be trimmed a little bit sooner and it ended up getting a little too in the toe and cracked, has a toe crack and dirt feeds in there. And every time the horse lands, that crack spreads or the separation between the sole and the hoof wall spreads and it gathers up dirt. And that dirt got bacteria in it and it closes it off and it makes now a nice little pocket environment to start an abscess. Some of them start off with a bruise. So, again, brushing off from your horse's feet, checking for bruises, things like that, getting rocks out of their frogs, that also helps. And that is, you know, why we want to check their feet every day or every other day so we can either ward off or know, hey, yeah, I saw a bruise the other day, then maybe that's what's causing now the abscess. And guide your farrier or your veterinarian who's ever out there to the area that might be sensitive. And then, of course, relieving the pressure, treating it afterwards, and it's usually just local treatment, like I said, Epsom salts and water and the drawing agents, Eximol. And as soon as you've got a sound horse and you think you've thrown out everything you possibly can, go back to either packing it, if it's a deep hole, to help heal up the soft tissue area to fill in, or you carry on if it wasn't that deep of a hole, like this horse and the frog. They soaked the horse for a couple days, and the horse went back to riding, you know, on day four.
It's definitely the most dramatic type of lameness that you will see, and it's definitely, I think, in my mind, the one I want to see the most. Because I'm like, whew, that's an abscess. Thank God. As opposed to, oh, my God, my horse's leg is broken. He can't step. He can't move forward. Oh, my God, it's terrible.
Absolutely. And it's a common emergency page for us, especially with owners, because they don't know they could possibly soak the foot for a day, have the horse seen on a regular appointment the next day, confine the horse, too, because what if it is a fracture? You don't want them out running around in the pasture. Plus, they don't really want to run around. They hurt too bad. So you confine them up in a stall, soak their foot, and have a vet seen the next day if you don't want to pay the emergency fee, if you really know or feel that it's an abscess. Two other keys. One, everybody talks about, is heat in the foot. They have heat over in that area where it seems like they're sensitive, or you saw that bruise a couple days ago, and now they're not walking on that foot. Have they developed an abscess on the inside or the outside of the wall? You can maybe feel some heat underneath the wall. The other thing is a digital pulse. I recommend all my clients know how to take and feel a digital pulse in the horse's foot. And it's just like really bad headache. I've never had migraines. I'm assuming migraine people would have the same thing, where you can feel a pulse at your temple of your head. And that just tells you there's something wrong going on in your head, obviously. Same thing with the foot. Feel a pulse down there by their ankle, and you can ask your veterinarian how to feel that pulse. And it's really significant for you to know how to do that. I think it makes a world of difference between, you know, losing your mind of what happened to my horse, is there a fracture or something, to I think it's just an abscess and let's treat it, and having a more calm approach to it.
All right. Well, you guys, as always, this is an incredibly educational moment, you know, a part of the week, because you're exactly right. You've got to figure out what you can do, how you can treat it, and, you know, maybe not call your vet immediately when you maybe could, you know, soak it a little bit and call them the next day and not wake up Dr. Jones at 3 in the morning because you went outside and looked at your horse.
And people do, because they go to work at 4 or 5. So, yes, I've had those calls.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you have. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being on the show today. Unfortunately, we ran out of time again, as usual. But, Christy, do you know what you guys are going to have next week for us?
I actually do, and Erin is actually off next week. We have a vet named Dr.
What?
J. Merriam. It's okay. She has a good replacement, and she'll be back next week.
And he's a fantastic replacement. You guys will really enjoy it.
It's going to be a very different type of show. It's going to be focused on Jay's equitarian work, which involves going out to a lot of different countries and taking care of a lot of the very hardworking horses that are doing very, very different jobs than they tend to do out here in volunteer work.
Fantastic.
Cool.
That'll be next Wednesday. Yeah, next Wednesday around 10 o'clock Eastern, so everybody tune in and check that out. That's going to be awesome. I'm excited to talk to him.
You're going to love him. And
all right, you guys.
We could do part 3 of this the week after. We could get into the hoof cracks, hoof wall trauma, hoof products, things like that. We did an Ask the Vet Live on common hoof problems late last year, and the most common question that we got related to hoof cracks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we'll have to spend some time on that.
And again, those can lead into abscesses, so I know this is an abscess day, but hoof cracks can lead to abscesses, so you do have to address them.
Glenn,
well,
how much do you love...
We can talk about hoof pockets for Glenn. I know he'll be happy.
I know. How much do you love the word abscess? That's exciting
to
you.
I didn't know what one was. I sort of remember the first time I discovered what an abscess was after becoming a new horse boyfriend. And, you know, that's at the point where you go, I got to think about this a little bit. And then you truly decide if you want to keep dating a horse girl after you've seen an abscess pop. That's when you truly decide
it.
Whether you're going to
yeah.
be
or
a horse husband
very
or not.
Well, or smelled it.
Well, you passed the test, obviously.
I guess I stayed. So that says something.
All right.
And
bye,
now you're
guys.
Obligated.
We'll talk to you
guys
again next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Thank you, Jennifer, for the coffee.
You're welcome.
All right, that was thehorse.com. And I will get to see Christy this weekend. That's going to be fun. We'll be getting together with her for a little bit. Well, that wasn't too bad. I got through that pretty good. You know, once you've seen a couple of abscesses, you know, you can sort of stomach them. But, No, I got to say, this horse husband still doesn't find them terrific to hang around, you know, abscesses.
Well, that's motivation to have preventative measures.
That's true. Keep those feet clean. This half hour of abscesses and goo and gore was brought to you by Leather Therapy. And Leather Therapy, scientifically formulated earth-friendly products make caring for leather a whole lot easier. Leather Therapy wash, restore, cleans, and conditions, and protects your leather tack against the mold. And then they also have a product, Leather Therapy Solution and Rinse, and Dressing, cleans and conditions leather chaps, full seat breeches, and sheepskin in the washing machine, which is really cool. And the newest member of the Leather Therapy family is the Saddle Pad Blanket and Wash and Rinse to clean, brighten, and eliminate odors on blankets, waterproof turnouts, and saddle pads. Even dog beds will be clean and fresh with this new Leather Therapy product. And that includes Zenyatta and Boomer beds as well, which I'm sure are getting peed on, thrown up on, dirty and stinky, just like all puppy beds do.
I definitely could use some of that stuff. For sure.
Yeah, I was wondering how that's going. We haven't had a puppy report lately. So how's that going?
You know, they're actually doing really good. Zenyatta is definitely the smart one in the family. Boomer has, you guys ever, I know you guys don't have kids, but for the mothers out there that have had to spank their children, I now know what it means to say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Because Boomer has a problem, and it is a chicken problem. He is a herding dog, and he thinks it is his job to hurt the chickens. Now, it doesn't matter where the chickens are at any given moment. He finds that it is his job to herd them. And to the chickens, that means run away. And then Boomer begins the chase. So my poor little five hens are just being tormented by this puppy. So I had to grab him yesterday. He was out in the arena chasing the chickens. And I finally snuck up on him. I grabbed him. I laid him down. I popped his bottom like three times. And he yelped and he cried. And he hasn't chased a chicken since.
And then Jamie yelped and she cried. And
I did. Oh, I felt so terrible. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm having to do this to you. But you brought it on yourself. Smack. You just could have been avoided if you'd have just listened to me. Bam. It's like corporal punishment from a mother. It was so terrible. I felt bad the rest of the day. It was horrible.
You know what? You need that, though, to just set it. All you have to do is once or twice, and then they're done usually. So it was the right thing, Mommy. It was the right thing.
Oh, it just about killed me, though. Just kidding.
And you know what? I was thinking, too, seeing that you are the ace at riding and staying on horses now, and apparently even when you're under the horse, you can get back on top. There is an event coming up that you have to go to because now you're also the ace cutter, and now that you've practiced that falling half off and getting back on thing, when the horse goes right and you go left, there is an event coming up in Jackson, Mississippi that I think will be ideal for you. It is the coup de grace of cutting events, $416,000 in prize money. Hundreds of cutters will be there. It's a National Cutting Horse Association show. It attracts cutters from around the globe. And I think now with your one lesson, you should be there competing.
Yeah. One cutting lesson, and I'm ready to go try to win $416,000 in prize money. That's a great idea. Hey, wait a second. My mother-in-law is back there in the freezer. Are you okay? You need anything? You good? Okay. She opened the freezer door, and everything fell out, and she looks terrified that she's ruining the show. It's okay. You're fine.
Well, let's pray that tomorrow we have our internet back and it's actually working. And we can get back to normal here on Horses in the Morning. We have a bunch of guests lined up. We have the MIG coming back. Do you remember the MIG from HRTV, Richard Migliari, the jockey that we had on? We actually, he and Frankie Lovato got into a great conversation the last time he was on. Well, the MIG's going to start coming on with us every 2 weeks or so to give us updates on, you know, how's it looking and who are the front runners for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown. So he's going to be on tomorrow morning. And we also have a farrier on, speaking of feet, talking about what to look for in a farrier, what makes a good farrier, and how to pick one. And, you know, that's so hard.
Oh, my gosh, that's a great idea. That is a great idea because that's you never know if you're going to hire the right person, and it only takes one time to mess up a horse.
That's right. That is correct. And talk about, you know, that talk about abscesses. Well, you know, how do you get abscesses almost more than any other way is your horse getting nailed by a farrier. So that's something that we'll talk about tomorrow, too. And that's then we got a lot of stuff planned for Friday. It's just going to be a good week all around, and we're going to hope and pray that technology continues to work. Hey, I wanted to mention one other thing, and it's not about the Western Show or Alan, although I'm sure I'll be getting a call immediately after this show today. If you missed the early part of this show, if you missed the first 5 minutes, you must go back and take a listen, because there was a little bit of a blooper reel that we did on behalf of the Western Radio Show that they didn't know about, and it's worth listening to. Just go back and take a listen.
Let's play it out. Let's just play it again as we're leaving.
Oh, okay. So we'll play the show out with that today. And I'm recording, I have to say, we're finally getting together the third annual Horse Husbands episode of the Stable Scoop Radio Show. Is coming up here. It'll be live on Friday over at StableScoop.com. The Horse Husband episodes are the most listened to episodes on the Horse Radio Network every year. So we have a bunch of good guests lined up for that, and I have prepared the top 10. I'm in trouble. You're in trouble, Jamie. Jamie's in big trouble now because Alan is on the phone. Jamie, you are in such big trouble for putting that blooper reel together like you did.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Jamie, how are you?
I didn't do it.
You know, I've been getting calls all morning that horses in the morning, I mean, they just reached next level entertainment status. I mean, things just got so much better for the opening. I was just calling to see what it was.
Oh, did you actually hear it, Alan? Did you hear it?
Yes, I heard it. I did.
You should have never said the part. Glenn,
yeah.
Do not put this into a blooper reel. Don't you dare put this into a blooper reel. That's the part that you really screwed up on.
I thought about that after we had gotten finished, and I guess I should have took it out. But and honestly and truthfully, I'm kind of relieved that it was no more than a minute and a half or 2 minutes, because over the shows that we've done, there's probably about 6 hours worth of bloopers on there somewhere.
This was just from one show, Alan. One show.
Just from one segment of one show.
You guys, I have to say, when I was editing that show, I was rolling on the floor, and I didn't put them all in there. I only put the ones that were safe for morning radio.
Yeah.
I couldn't put in the other parts, and I was literally rolling on the floor when I was editing. You guys were in a mood yesterday, and Tammy was sick, and it was an interesting – I couldn't put the guttural sounds in that kept coming from Tammy. I had to cut those out. But
I think it was chemically induced fun. I mean, she was trying to cover up the flu real bad, and I don't know what it was. But the whole show's really good, and, I mean, with summertime coming on, folks need to listen to it. There's a lot of great information about hauling your horses and what you need to do. Dr. Alan Vanell with Equine Sports Medicine and Joe McGee, who does commercial hauling, great ideas for keeping your horses safe on the road and such as that. And one thing I'd like to let your listeners know is Rodeo Houston's underway right now. There's a free live webcast there. I think it's 7 o'clock Central Time, www.foxsportshouston.com, and they can get right on it and enjoy it with me. I got it.
Listen, Alan, you cannot continue to call our radio show and promote yourself. We are making fun of you today, okay? No calling our show and promoting what you're up to. Glenn, let's end the show with the bloopers right now. So be sure to listen to all the horse shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com, even that whatever other Western show. You can follow us on Facebook, search for Horses in the Morning. We are on Twitter at Horse Radio, and I would like you all right now to say goodbye before I play the bloopers. So goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Alan. Goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, Glenn. Goodbye.
Hey,
and wait till Jamie has to work with me.
You missed it earlier. Here it is again.
This is episode 44 of the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network. How to blow your nose without making your nose raw. Please, Tammy's got the flu. I feel so sad for you. Right. In 3, 2, 1. This is Alan Moorhead.
And I'm...
I'm sorry. I knew that.
This is Alan, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
I'm sorry you're Alan.
Yeah.
Am I missing something? I thought there was something.
No. You just started that. Okay. I don't know. Maybe.
That's the first one I've screwed up.
Baloney.
Okay, in a long time. Okay, go ahead.
In 3, 2, 1. Well, Dr. Alan, in 3.
We suck today.
For some reason, just in my mind, I looked and says, oh, he spells his name like mine, and I've known that for years.
Get over it, Alan. He's Alan, too.
In 3, 2, Glenn's laughing his ass off listening to this right now. I guarantee that. Do not, Glenn, do not try to make a bloopers reel. Okay. 3.
Make a better show.